Welcome. I'm Tom Longstaff. I'm the CTO at the SEI at Carnegie Mellon University. And today I'm talking to Principal Investigator Grace Lewis. And we're going to be talking about STEM. So welcome, Grace.
Thank you, Tom.
So first of all, just what is STEM and STEAM and all of the other things investigated, and why is that important?
So STEM is an acronym. It stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. STEAM adds the A at the end and in between. And the idea is these are fields that the nation has declared that are very important to make progress in research, to make innovation, and become better in everything we do. More recently, I learned about STREAM. STREAM adds the R, STREAM, and it refers to reading and writing. But I think in general, the idea is that these are all the fields that in combination are what makes a nation progress, because it leads to a lot of innovation.
Great. So what's the relationship between sort of STEM and the work being done in STEM and diversity, and especially the inclusion of girls and the inclusion of minorities?
Right. So STEM fields have received a lot of attention because of what I said before, but also because if you look at the statistics, girls are not interested in STEM, women are not interested in STEM, or they lose interest in STEM, underrepresented minorities, and this is a field in which it's so important, and there is so much work. I mean, if you look at the statistics of how much work there is out there in STEM fields, in particular computing, and how many graduates are produced, there's a big imbalance. And so that is why it's very related to diversity, because imagine if you could increase diversity in this field, we would have so many more people to pull from, so many more perspectives, and that's where the relationship comes in.
That's really fabulous. Mm. What does a diverse STEM force really look like? If you were embodied in the middle of a really diverse STEM workforce, what's that like?
So in the workplace, and this is where I think we need to extend a little bit what we mean by diversity. So if you look at all the efforts that are done in organizations related to STEM, they tend to focus on gender and race. Those are like the two big areas. And I agree that they're absolutely fabulous areas to work in. We need a lot of work in that area. But I would like to see the workforce extend STEM to diversity in backgrounds, diversity in culture, diversity in the schools that you come from, which I think is interesting, because computing is my field. So imagine a software development project where everybody on the team comes from the same exact school and looks exactly the same. Well, if you put that team together to come up with a solution to a problem, everything is going to look very similar, right? We had the same professors, we did the same work, we had the same background. But imagine if you had a team where you not only combined, you know, people from the top schools, but maybe people from not top schools, you know, more liberal arts. Mm-hmm. Or when you're combined people that not only have a major in computer science, but they have a major in music or a major in art or any other field. When you put these people together, now you have many solutions to work with. So to me, that's what diversity means in STEM is not only getting people from these fields, but getting diverse people from these fields beyond gender and race.
So that really sounds fantastic. So how do we actually motivate? How do we get there from here? How do we motivate a workforce like that and go from where we are now internationally to that really great workplace that you're describing?
Right. We need to start early. We need to start at as early as elementary school, getting kids interested in STEM, gamification, making it fun, making it see that there is a lot of fun in doing math and doing science and working with technology, engineering. But where we really need to do a lot of work is in middle school. There was a study commissioned by Microsoft in Europe where the basic finding of that study is that girls, for example, start becoming interested in STEM at age 11, but they lose that interest by age 15, which is very sad. And the reasons that came out of that study were things such as stereotypes, you know, girls don't do STEM. Social pressures, I mean, that's so nerdy, why are you doing that? And this is one of my big pet peeves, the lack of role models.
Yeah.
Their STEM teachers they're not from underrepresented minorities. They all, unfortunately, look the same. So it's that lack of role models, but it's a little bit of a catch-22, isn't it? Because we need more people in STEM, but we don't have role models, but we need more people in STEM, but we don't have, so it's a catch-22. But I think that if people start seeing role models, if people start seeing the people that come to schools to talk to them, that look like them.
Yeah.
Or if you're at a recruiting event and the people that are there look like me, I can say, wow, you know what? I can do that. That person looks like me. Wow. And I think it's the lack of role models, to me, in my opinion, that is really hindering what we do. But yes, we need to start early. And after middle school, we need to work with high schools. We need to work with teachers, and we need to work with parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because teachers are obviously ones that are guiding them in what careers they should pursue. But it's also the parents as well, because in the end, I don't want to say it's a parent decision, right? But the parent has a lot of influence there. So teaching educators, teaching parents on what the STEM field means and just the opportunities that are out there.
That's fantastic. So are there any sort of specific like ages or critical times? So you talked about sort of age 11, mm-hmm. age 15.
Mm-hmm.
Are there specific times in a student's career that mm-hmm. it's really important to engage with somebody who would be a role model?
Oh my, yes. So definitely middle school. Let me just give you an example. I have two children. I have a 15-year-old boy and I have a 13-year-old girl.
Mm.
They both went to the same middle school, and they had a teacher, Mrs. Dottillo, who just retired. But Mrs. Dottillo had an event that she had in her class, in her science class,
mm-hmm.
called Lost. It was the Life of a Scientist talk.
Oh wow.
And every 2 weeks, she would invite someone, a scientist, and she used the very broad word of the a broad concept of scientist, but just to talk to the students. And purposefully, every single person that she picked was from a minority group or from an underrepresented
nice.
group, or maybe somebody that broke the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was great, because I talked to my kids and they're like, oh, this person came to talk to me. A dentist came and talked to us, and it's great. He's from Brazil and he came in and talked to us. And you know, I was the computer scientist. So you know, I'm the female computer yeah. scientist coming to talk to the students. So that age is important, because they start seeing, maybe I can do this. Oh, the morning I talked to my daughter's group, that the next day there was the very first meeting of Girls Who Code.
Mm.
After that talk, a lot of girls came up to me and said, "Hey, so is this something I could do?" So it's that. So to me, it's middle school. It really is middle school. That age 11 to 15 to me is absolutely critical.
And that's really exciting.
Sort of matches up to middle school.
Wow, and I love the passion that even I hear in your voice. You know, coming
oh,
into talking to these kids, and
yeah.
it's just so crazy.
Yeah,
are there other examples of programs that we think are effective or that actually work? I mean, that sounds like a great one. Lost is just
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
But are there other kinds of programs and things that we think might be effective?
Right. So back when I was a graduate student at Carnegie Mellon in 1999, I was one of the founding members of a group called Women at SES.
Mm.
This was the very first year that they had a larger group of women in their undergraduate freshman class. And the group was formed to create, not to create a special environment for women, but basically to give women the same opportunities that men have at networking, at socializing.
Yeah.
It was just trying to level the field, right? And especially because even though it was a larger group, it wasn't 50-50 like it is today, and that's
mm-hmm.
why it's successful.
Yes.
But it was more like, you know, back then 19% was a huge number, right? And it's kept growing. So to me, that is a very successful group, and I invite people to take a look at Women at SES, because like I said, it's about just creating a level, a balanced field of giving people all the same opportunities. And one thing that has been crucial at Carnegie Mellon University, and that's why they got this increasing number of women at first,
mm-hmm.
is that they did not relax the admission requirements. They did not make it
right.
easier for women to join STEM.
Sure.
Or they didn't do anything different. The only thing that they did was that they removed the programming requirement.
Mm.
And that made a huge difference.
Wow.
Because not only did that increase the number of women applying, but that increased the number of different people applying.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't just your usual, there are stereotypes, it wasn't just
sure.
your usual person that you imagine being a computer scientist, but it was all kinds of people. And that made a huge difference, because it started changing the
mm.
culture. So now CMU in their undergraduate class has a 50-50 class, and I believe it's the third year in a row. And it's great, because
that's
now
fantastic.
you have an environment where you see that balance, where diversity is not an exception, it's the norm. And it's almost like normal. I mean, 50-50 class. Yeah, that sounds right.
So it sounds like Carnegie Mellon is all over this.
Yes.
I mean, just great.
Right.
Is there anything that the Software Engineering Institute mm-hmm. or an FFRDC mm-hmm. can do to help with this? Is there anything there or any programs within the SEI mm-hmm. that can really help to multiply even the success that CMU is having?
Right. So at the SEI, we have a group called the STEM Forum. It mm-hmm. is a fully volunteer-based group. We rotate leadership between divisions every year. I'm leading it this year. And the goal of the STEM Forum is to, because we're a software engineering FFRDC, the role of the STEM Forum is to create awareness and provide resources for people that are interested in software engineering and computer science as a field. Our two big activities every year is, one is that we run the Take Our Sons and Daughters to Work Day, and we usually do two different activities, one focusing on software engineering, computer science, and the other one focusing on just being creative at problem solving, like a maker activity. And that has been a big success. The other big activity is that we organize about 3 or 4 talks every year where we invite people that are making a difference in STEM. Mm-hmm. And we invite them to give a talk at the SEI, invite all of the SEI, all of CMU, but we also invite local schools. Mm. Because they are
Excellent.
The ones that need to see this, but we want to do more, and we do have a role, and we do have an obligation to do more. We are working on becoming a resource for anybody that's interested in software engineering as a career. So if you're a teacher and you want to learn more about software engineering because your students are asking about it, it should have all the resources that you need to grab and just talk to your students about it. We get a lot of, because we're the Software Engineering Institute, we get a lot of emails from students. I'm interested in a software engineering career. Can you tell me, can I talk to you about what it means to be a software engineer? And we're always very open to helping out and doing
Absolutely.
What we can.
So this is really great. So of course, artificial intelligence is like the big thing that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And at the SEI, we have a very strong push into AI engineering mm-hmm. and really engineering software for AI mm-hmm. and using AI mm-hmm. in doing software engineering. Is there anything within that world that is going to be beneficial to sort of the whole STEM program? Is there a way that we can link that in with STEM to sort of, you know, get that diverse workforce that
right.
we need in AI engineering?
Well, I think that's a very good question, and I think there is, because one of the things when I talk to students about computer science, my main thing in software engineering, my main thing is to break stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
When I start out by saying, you know, what do you think a computer scientist looks like? And they'll say, it's probably a person with glasses, sit in front of a, they always say
yes.
that, I don't know why. It's a person with glasses, they sit in front of the computer all day, and all they do is write code. And
mm-hmm.
I say, wrong. I am a computer scientist, look at me right now. And that is wrong. For us, the computer is a tool.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tool. We are really about solving problems, about solving important problems, about solving difficult problems. And it, you know what? It so happens that, yeah, sure, we can write some code to solve that problem.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's about problem solving. And to me, the big thing with AI and machine learning and everything is that is what it does. It's really mm-hmm. targeted at problem solving. So imagine bringing people together
yes.
to solve a lot of these problems. So AI being used to solve problems in health, AI being used to solve problems in education. I mean, you can think of any combination, but the fact is that if we're looking at data and trying to analyze data and trying to produce insights on that data, there
Absolutely.
Are so many problems. I mean, where do we start? There are so many problems, and I think this
the
is really what
are
is
intense.
Right,
they're great.
What
yes.
is going to bring people together.
Oh, that's going to be great fun.
Mm-hmm.
So what can our listeners do to help in this whole area? What's your best advice to our listeners on how can we support STEM, support diversity, support the area of making this work environment a reality?
Right. So the first thing is volunteer. I mean, if you have the time, volunteer. Work with your schools, work with your teachers, volunteer at work. I mean, volunteer to go to recruitment events, but it's volunteer and educate. Educate people on the stereotypes, on breaking the stereotypes, on the fascinating world of STEM, not as a, just as a set of problems that we can work with, a set of problems that we can solve, and not just the computer, the stethoscope, it's about solving problems. But it's really that. It's go out, volunteer, educate,
Excellent.
And break the stereotypes.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Grace. This has been just terrific.
Thank you.
For more information on the work that we do, please check out the link in the description. This has been Tom Longstaff and Grace Lewis. Thank you very much for watching.
If you enjoyed that video and you'd like to hear more from our researchers, hit the subscribe button. We're constantly adding new conversations and insights with researchers from all across our different directorates.